Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record, program number 654, The Obama File, Part 1, The Slumlord Connection. This is being recorded on November 16th of the year 2008. This program is going to be another broadcast examining some of the background information on the candidates in the recently concluded presidential election. A couple of quick introductory notes. First of all, I think that the campaign itself was, the outcome was academic once the financial meltdown took place in September. Unless something truly horrendous happened, there was no way McCain was going to get in, simply because the party that is in the White House generally gets blamed for matters economic, and that's the single largest issue with voters, particularly in these horrible times. Also, as I set forth some of the information about some of the sleazy connections that Barack Obama had in Chicago, a couple of points to keep in mind. First of all, I don't necessarily condemn him for this. I don't think anybody is going to become president of the United States or even a major party presidential candidate without having some pretty nasty connections. The nature of power being what it is, you're going to have to deal with some pretty nasty folks. So again, I don't necessarily condemn him for this. But one of the most important aspects of the slumlord connection that we're going to explore is it may very well have set the table for the badjacketing of Barack Obama. And we're going to take a look at attempts to tar him or smear him with the Islamist brush during the past campaign. And there are some very interesting things that might surface in the future. Bear in mind that the elements, what I call the underground, right, the elements behind George Bush, the elements that have been in control of this country's political destiny have not gone away, and they have not changed their stripes. I think that as Barack Obama undertakes what is going to be a very, very, very difficult task indeed, which is to right the ship of state and the economic ship in particular, we need to be aware of just what sorts of attacks might be used on him. And indeed, when we take a look at badjacketing Barack Obama, we're going to take a look at how some of the people that figure in these slumlord connections may very well have sort of targeted Barack Obama early on, and we may see some of that targeting surfacing during his presidency. We're going to begin with, in fact, this broadcast is going to consist of excerpting of some articles that are featured on the Scoop Independent News site. This is in a website out of New Zealand. These are three columns by Evelyn Pringle. The first one is called Barack Obama, The Wizard of Oz, and it reads in part as follows. Skipping down, instead of the leaders of the Democratic Party doing their homework, a small group of investigative reporters in Chicago will be credited with exposing the corrupt backbone of Obama's political career, and the mainstream media need only follow their lead if the Democrats hold him out to be a viable candidate. By the way, this article was written on March 29th of 2008, obviously. The nomination had not been secured at this point, but again, as we're going to see, some of the links here might be used to badjacket Barack Obama in the future. Badjacketing, by the way, is setting somebody up in such a way as to be discredited by basically attaching disinformation or discrediting information to them. And we're going to take a look at what took place during the campaign and how some of these slumlord connections might figure into that. Continuing with this article by Evelyn Pringle, again from March 29th of 2008. The list of reporters deserving credit for doing the investigative work that should have been done by the leaders of the Democratic Party before they got behind Obama includes, but is not limited to, Chicago Sun-Times reporters Tim Novak, Dave McKinney, Fran Spielman, Chris Fusco, Natasha Korecki, Steve Wambier, and Lynn Sweet. Chicago Tribune reporters especially deserving of credit include Jeff Cohn, Bob Sector, John Chase, Virginia Groark, Rick Pearson, David Jackson, John McCormick, Mickey Chicaglio, Rudolph Bush, and Dan Miahopoulos. This article is the first in a series that will give the details of Obama's rise to fame. As for the most recognized allegation against Obama, that he helped slumlords operate in Chicago while accepting their campaign contributions, it's true. Obama was a member of the political machine that helped a whole gang of slumlords funnel local, state, and federal tax dollars over the backs of poor people in need of affordable housing to line their own pockets and fund the campaigns of politicians in positions to recommend and award contracts. The Davis Minor Barnhill and Galland law firm, where Obama worked for nearly a decade, served as a hub for a slew of slumlord deals, many that benefited the firm's founder, Allison Davis, and Obama's claims that he knew nothing about the inner workings of this small firm represent an insult to the intelligence of the American public. Tony Rezko was an Obama political godfather. Obama received his first contributions of $2,000 to launch his political career as a state senator on July 31, 1995, from Antoine Tony Rezko. Obama started out saying that Rezko only raised $50,000 or $60,000 for his political career, but after a year of lying his way through the primaries, the latest total he gave to the Sun-Times and Tribune during interviews on March 14, 2008, adds up to $250,000. For a year, he also minimized his relationship with Rezko by telling the media that he only had dinner or lunch with Rezko once or twice a year. But when confronted by Sun-Times reporters during the March 14th interview with the allegation that an FBI mole saw him coming and going to Rezko's office often, and that three sources said he talked to Rezko on the phone daily, Obama changed his tune. Now, the story is that he may have talked to Rezko daily at times during campaigns, but sometimes he went for a whole month without talking to him. Quote, "I have to say we're talking over the course of 10 years, Obama said. There might have been spurts where I talked to him daily, unquote. But then he added, quote, "There have been stretches over a month where I wouldn't have talked to him at all, unquote. This story is a far cry from the picture Obama gave to the public of him and Rezko meeting once or twice a year, and he never did respond to the allegation by the Times reporter that an FBI mole, quote, saw you coming and going from Rezko's office a lot, unquote. Without Rezko's fundraising, Obama would not have been elected to the Illinois Senate or the U.S. Senate, and he would not have sold the books he wrote about himself because, like the Wizard of Oz, Obama is nobody special. Even with Rezko's massive fundraising, Obama could not beat former Black Panther Bobby Rush in his 2000 bid for a seat in Congress. And the only reason he won the U.S. Senate race was because his viable opponents had to drop out due to public airing of personal scandals. Beating Alan Keyes is hardly a victory to brag about. The media needs to quit grouping all the Obama backers under the name Antoine Tony Rezko because the list of contributors to his political campaigns includes the names of many individuals and entities with their own agendas. The trail of corruption involving the people raising money for Obama's political career stretches from the city of Chicago to the Illinois Tollway to the O'Hare Airport all the way over to Iraq. And testimony in Rezko's corruption trial reveals that an equal number of Democrat and Republican crooks benefited from all the money-making schemes. Rezko is not a Democrat. He's an equal opportunity profiteer. He supported President George Bush and attended a Christmas party at the White House in December of 2003. At the same time, he was a top fundraiser for Obama's U.S. Senate campaign. Rezko co-hosted a $3.8 million Chicago fundraiser for Bush in 2003, and on December 9, 2003, he donated $4,000 to Bush, quote, as a self-employed businessman, unquote, and gave another $2,000 on December 9, 2003, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Prior to backing Rod Blagojevich for governor of Illinois, Rezko threw his money behind Republican candidates for governor, including George Ryan, who was convicted of doling out leases and contracts to cronies and sentenced to prison for more than 6 years. Rezko then switched horses and chose Blagojevich in 2002, and Obama has supported Blagojevich as well, even when his administration was embroiled in corruption investigations. Recent testimony in the Rezko trial by his co-conspirator, Chicago businessman Stuart Levine, explained that Rezko had plans for Blagojevich to be presidential, not Obama. However, anybody following the trial knows that Blagojevich is more likely to be headed to the big house rather than occupying the White House. Obama's entering into real estate deals with Rezko, while it was public knowledge that he was under investigation for funneling illegal contributions to Illinois politicians, was not a boneheaded, unquote, move. It was motivated by pure greed. While knowing that he would get caught up in a major scandal, Obama went ahead with the deal because he and his wife wanted that mansion with four fireplaces, six bathrooms, and a wine cellar, period. On March 16, 2008, the Boston Globe added an interesting twist to the story when reporting that Donna Schwann of Metro Pro Realty, which listed the mansion and lot next door for the owners, quote, said it is her recollection that the Obamas may not have made the highest bid and that other bidders may have matched Rezko's bid, quote, but the willingness of both buyers to close in June of 2005 was decisive, unquote, which logically means Rezko had not been willing to buy the lot in June, had Rezko not been willing to buy the lot in June, the deal was off. According to an article by Edward McClellan in the February 1st, 2008 Salon magazine, when asked who approached her about the house, Donna Schwann told Salon, quote, I honestly don't remember. Tony Rezko lived across the street, so he'd been interested in the lot, unquote. Any claim that Obama was unaware of the investigations into the corrupt dealings of Rezko with Illinois politicians in June of 2005 is ridiculous. On February 15th of 2005, the Chicago Tribune reported, quote, Governor Rod Blagojevich long has vowed to purge the Illinois Tollway of cronyism, yet two of his closest friends and political advisors have links to food vendors awarded lucrative contracts to operate inside the toll road's sleek new oases, government records show. The Subway sandwich shops and Panda Express Asian restaurants, now being installed in the tollway's 7 revamped rest stops, are controlled by firms with strong ties to the food service empire of Antoine Tony Rezko, a Blagojevich confidant who has seated the governor's cabinet with former business underlings, unquote. Christopher Kelly, Blagojevich's chief fundraiser, quote, who also recommended the tollway's executive director for his job, is an investor in at least one Rezko-controlled food firm, unquote, the Tribune wrote. On March 16, 2005, the Tribune reported that, again quoting, city officials alleged Tuesday that a minority contractor at O'Hare International Airport acted as a front for a firm run by Antoine Tony Rezko, a top advisor and fundraiser for Governor Rod Blagojevich. Rezko, a member of Blagojevich's kitchen cabinet of advisors, has come under increased scrutiny in recent weeks following questions about his links to operators of new tollway Oasis franchises. The revamp of the Oasis is a showcase project for the Blagojevich administration, unquote. On May 15, 2005, the Sun-Times reported that the accusations by his father-in-law that Blagojevich doled out jobs for campaign contributions had resulted in dozens of grand jury subpoenas being sent to the governor's office, his unpaid advisors, agency directors, and his top fundraisers, unquote. Among those subpoenaed for documents, sources told the Times were Blagojevich's biggest money men, Christopher Kelly and Antoine Tony Rezko, unquote. On May 20th, 2005, less than a month before Obama bought the mansion, the Tribune reported that Rezko, quote, has had a business relationship with First Lady Patty Blagojevich for 8 years, the governor's office acknowledged Thursday, unquote. 6 months before Obama bought the strip of land from Rezko's wife, unquote, to enlarge his yard on August 28th, 2005, Natasha Korecki reported in the Sun-Times that, quote, there's so much corruption to investigate in the Chicago area that the FBI is adding manpower, unquote. Robert Grant, FBI special agent in charge, told the Times that he had reorganized the bureau to add a third public corruption squad, giving Chicago the largest corruption unit in the country, even bigger than those in New York and Los Angeles. It's the second time in 2 years the FBI in Chicago has expanded its public corruption force, Korecki noted. On November 6, 2006, the Times asked Obama why he did not reveal the land deal with Rezko before it was reported by the Tribune, stating, quote, why did you not publicly disclose the transaction after Rezko got indicted? At the time, it didn't strike me as relevant, unquote, Obama answered. It seems like a lot of events were not relevant a couple of months before he announced his candidacy for president. In the November 2007 Chicago magazine, James Mariner described a, quote, fashion show, unquote, that took place in the first week in November of 2006 to benefit the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, which he said, quote, attracted little of any media coverage, which may have been exactly as its organizers and sponsors had hoped, unquote. The invitation to the affair, he wrote, offered a veritable guidebook to political influence in Illinois, much of it centered on one St. Jude benefactor, Antoine Tony Rezko. Just 3 weeks earlier, unquote, Mariner pointed out, Rezko had been indicted on charges of extorting kickbacks from businesses seeking contracts from Blagojevich's administration. The fashion show was chaired by Rita Rezko, co-chaired by the governor's wife, Patty Blagojevich, and Michelle Obama was a special guest that day, according to Mariner. 2 weeks after the fashion show, unquote, on November 17, 2006, the Sun-Times reported that Blagojevich's wife, Patty, got nearly $50,000 from a real estate deal in late 2002 involving Rezko. In terms of dollar amounts of campaign contributions directly from Rezko in Illinois, the top four earners were the now-deceased president of the Cook County Board, John Stroger, Blagojevich, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, and Obama, in that order. And by the way, we're going to see what happened to some of these people. A lot of these people started dying under strange circumstances as the investigation began to proceed, a phenomenon only too clear or too familiar to veteran listeners to this program. repeating this last sentence once again because it introduces some of the names. In terms of dollar amounts of campaign contributions directly from Rezko in Illinois, the top four earners were the now-deceased president of the Cook County Board, John Stroger, Blagojevich, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, and Obama in that order. Rezko was the head of Stroger's campaign finance committee at the same time that he served on Obama's U.S. Senate finance committee. When it came time for Stroger's re-election campaign, in the midst of the erupting Rezko scandals in the media on April 8, 2005, the Tribune reported that Stroger, quote, has selected beleaguered businessman and political power broker Antoine Tony Rezko as one of the honorary chairs of his campaign fundraiser next month, unquote. Stroger appointed Rezko's wife Rita to the Cook County Employee Appeals Board, which hears cases filed by fired or disciplined workers at a part-time salary of $37,000 a year. According to documents filed in the Rezko corruption case, this was Rita's sole income when she supposedly came up with a $125,000 down payment and secured a $500,000 mortgage to buy the $625,000 lot next to Obama. Less than a year after Obama bought his strip of land, Rita sold the rest of the lot to attorney Michael Srinan and made a profit of more than $50,000. On February 27th of 2007, the Sun-Times pointed out that Obama's, quote, new neighbor, Michael Srinan, unquote, had contributed $5,000 to Obama's campaigns. Less than a year after buying the lot, Srinan put it up for sale for $1.5 million in October of 2007. Of course, John Stroger will not be answering any questions about corruption or any other matter because he died on January 18, 2008. His former chief of staff and godson, Orlando Jones, will not be talking either because he was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound on September. Actually, itself, he was found dead of self-inflicted gunshot wounds, plural, in September of 2007, unquote, or quoting, just as a corruption inquiry targeting him was heating up, unquote, according to a September 7th, 2007 report by CBS News Channel 2, Chicago. So noted here, unless it's a misprint, Orlando Jones died of self-inflicted gunshot wounds, plural, suggests at least the possibility that maybe they weren't really self-inflicted. Continuing, Jones left his position in county government to create a lobbying firm in association with Tony Rezko, who has been indicted on fraud charges, unquote, CBS reported. Cook County Commissioner Tony Pareka told CBS that Orlando Jones' death raised many questions about the Cook County President's office. Quote, some of these matters Jones was involved in that are currently being investigated by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office are reaching to the highest level of county government, Pareka said. Obama endorsed John Stroger's son, Todd Stroger, in his bid for Cook County Board President after his father died. Todd was in the news as recently as March 24, 2008, when the Sun-Times published a front-page article reporting that his cousin, Donna Dunnings, the county's new chief financial officer, was receiving a 12% pay increase. Dunnings' salary would be the largest increase of any county employee, with the average increase being around 5%. She will make nearly $160,000 with the pay increase, or roughly $5,000 more than her predecessor made at the job, according to the Times. Mayor Daley endorsed Obama immediately after he announced he was running for president, and in return, Obama endorsed Daley's re-election for mayor right smack in the middle of major federal investigations of corruption of the Daley administration. Obama's ties to the corrupt Daley machine began when he was dating his wife Michelle, and she brought him into the fold. Valerie Jarrett, the deputy chief of staff to Mayor Daley, hired Michelle as her assistant in 1991. Daley made Jarrett the chairman of the Chicago Department of Planning and Development, and Michelle Obama worked as her assistant in that department during 1992 and 1993. By the way, at the end of this broadcast, we're going to explore who it was that boosted Tony Rezko, the major campaign contributor and to a certain extent political godfather of Barack Obama, into his position in Illinois state government. Very interesting indeed, but that is still to come. Continuing. Of Michelle Obama and the Daley machine in Chicago. From there, Michelle moved up the political tiers to the University of Chicago and ultimately got an overnight pay raise from about $121,000 to close to $317,000 after Obama became a U.S. Senator as a vice president at the University of Chicago. Susan Schur was corporation counsel in the Daley administration when Michelle was hired back in the early 1990s, and Schur is now Michelle's boss at the University of Chicago, according to the April 22, 2007 Chicago Tribune. Shortly after Obama entered the U.S. Senate, Michelle was also handed a position on the board of Treehouse Foods. Walmart is the largest customer of Treehouse Foods. Factoring in stock options and other payments, the value of her compensation package for serving on the board in 2006 was $101,083, according to the Tribune report. On May 14, 2007, during a meeting with the AFL-CIO in New Jersey, Obama was asked about Walmart, and he said, quote, "I won't shop there," unquote. Michelle resigned from the board of Treehouse 8 days after her husband said he would not shop at Walmart, CBS News reported on May 27, 2007. When it came time for Obama's U.S. Senate campaign, Valerie Jarrett became the campaign finance chairman and worked hand-in-hand with fellow finance committee members Rita and Tony Rezko and his former boss at the law firm Allison Davis in fundraising endeavors. The committee raised more than $14 million, according to the Federal Election Commission records Tim Novak reported in the Sun-Times on April 23rd of 2007. Jarrett is now the CEO of Habitat Company, a real estate development and management firm which manages the housing program for the Chicago Housing Authority, the entity mandated to administer public housing, and she serves as an unpaid advisor to Obama's presidential campaign. Mayor Daley's brother Bill also became an Obama advisor. Mayor Daley's chief image defender, David Axelrod, is a top strategist for Obama's campaign, and he was also the media consultant for Obama's U.S. Senate campaign. On April 1, 2007, Dick Simpson, a former Chicago alderman who is now chairman of the political science department at the University of Illinois at Chicago, told Ben Wallace Wells in the New York Times, quote, "David Axelrod's mostly been visible in Chicago in the last decade as Daley's public relations strategist and the guy who goes on television to defend Daley from charges of corruption." The scandals involving the Daley administration have no beginning and no end. In January 2004, the Sun-Times published a three-part series exposing widespread corruption in the hired truck program and revealed that some companies were being paid for doing little or no work and that some had mob connections or were tied to city employees. On January 25th of 2005, the Associated Press reported that trucking company manager John Canatello, the 16th person charged in the scandal, was charged with getting $6.6 million in city hauling work, quote, "by giving campaign contributions and cash to officials and falsely claiming his firm was eligible for jobs set aside for women-owned businesses," unquote. According to the article, city officials said the hired truck program, which at its height doled out $38 million worth of work in 1 year to contractors without bids, was designed to save taxpayers money by outsourcing hauling jobs that otherwise would require the city to buy trucks and insurance. This, I think, will give you a feeling for the sort of milieu that Obama was involved with in Chicago. Now, past a point, this is more or less routinely corrupt big city machine politics. However, we're going to take a look at some of the other people connected to this machine, because some of the people connected to this machine could spell serious trouble for Barack Obama in the future. And by the way, skipping down to give you more of an idea of the milieu that could come back to haunt Barack Obama, at the sentencing hearing in November of 2006, U.S. District Judge David Corr told Sorich, quote, "If I thought that by sentencing you I could stop this type of hiring corruption of the city of Chicago, I would throw this building at you, but I can't," unquote, the Tribune reported on November 21st, 2006. Skipping down, on September 5, 2007, the New York Post reported that, quote, "Alexei Janulius, who became Illinois State Treasurer last year after Obama vouched for him, has pledged to raise $100,000 for the senator's Oval Office bid," unquote. Janulius is so tainted by reputed mob links, the Post noted, that several top Illinois Democrats, including the state Speaker of the House and party chairman, refused to endorse him even after he won the Democratic nomination with Obama's help. If the Democratic Party places Obama on the ballot against John McCain, Democratic voters will have no choice in this election. Well, I don't agree with that. But there are some very, very interesting things about in Barack Obama's background. And note again that Tony Rezko has strong ties to George Bush and to the GOP, sort of an equal opportunity destroyer. By the way, I'm going to have URLs for all three articles in this Scoop series by Evelyn Pringle. The third of the series was called Barack Obama, Subplots of Operation Board Games, and of the people that were associated with him in these corruption scandals, skipping down, some of the people listed the indictments as co-schemers and individuals include William Cellini, a long-standing Republican power broker in Illinois, and Robert Kellender, treasurer for the Republican National Committee. And skipping down, and Robert Kellender, again, one of the people that was part of the Obama milieu here. On January 7th, 2005, Crane's Chicago Business described Robert Kellender as, quote, the White House's man in Illinois, unquote, and noted that, quote, Mr. Kellender, the GOP National Committeeman from Illinois, long has been the center of the state Republican Party and related government doings. He is a close associate of Chief Presidential Advisor Karl Rove and is considered the unofficial chief operative in the state for President George W. Bush. In 2005, the feds issued a subpoena to the Illinois Teachers Retirement System Pension Fund for records pertaining to a deal in which Kellender was paid $3.1 million by the Carlyle Group, with an additional $1.4 million still to come. And, of course, the Carlyle Group is the private equity firm with which both the Bush family and the Bin Laden family were involved. Done a lot of work about the Carlyle Group, and listeners can go to spitfirelist.com and explore, basically, the Carlyle Group at greater length and in greater detail. Now, again, I do not necessarily condemn Obama because of this. I don't think anybody's going to become president of the United States or a major party presidential candidate without dealing with some pretty nasty and rotten people. However, this is sort of a bridge into some programming I'm going to be doing about badjacking Obama. We saw a hint of that during the election with attempts to make him out to be a Muslim, etc., and link him to William Ayers. But we've taken a look at the relationship between Tony Rezko and Barack Obama. We're going to take a look in weeks to come at the relationship between Tony Rezko and Nnamdi Aoki, one of Saddam Hussein's offshore financiers. But guess who it was that placed Tony Rezko, again, this fundraising godfather to an extent for Barack Obama, and somebody who could certainly taint Obama by association, guess who placed Antoine Tony Rezko into Illinois state government? The following is from a website that refers the Arab American Media Services. This is by Ray Hanania. It's titled, Arabs in Chicago Discover Political Clout and Controversy. And skipping down, Rezko also became an advisor to former Governor George Ryan, who was later indicted on unrelated government corruption charges, and to Blagojevich. Antoine Tony Rezko was introduced to state politics and Ryan's predecessor, Jim Edgar, by Talat Otman, a longtime fundraiser for state and city government officials. Edgar is now an associate of the PR firm Rezko hired to represent him. Well, Talat Otman was also a director of Harkin Energy, one of George Bush's failed energy ventures. He also was a protege of Gayit Faron of the BCCI milieu. Talat Otman was also a close personal friend and political advisor of both Georges Bush. He gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention in 2000, and it was Talat Otman who interceded on behalf of the individuals and institutions targeted by the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids that uncovered the largest terror finance bust in American history. And we've talked about Talat Otman, his Islamic Institute, and Karl Rove and Grover Norquist, who are associated with that. Basically, it's the Islamic fascist element within the Republican ethnic outreach milieu. And with Rezko having been boosted into Illinois state government by Talat Otman, with the links that he has, raises some interesting questions. And we're going to take a look at the bad jacketing of Barack Obama, and we're going to take a look at just how this Talat Otman Rezko connection could resonate at some point in the future. Now, new website, same fight. New site, same fight. Spitfirelist.com is the website. This concludes For the Record program number 654. The Obama File, the Slumlord Connection, being recorded on November 16th of 2008. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.